Okay, well, good morning. Started here in just a minute or so. Again, I want to thank you all for being with us on this steamy, steamy August morning. Boy, oh boy. Whew. Like you're living in a aquarium. Good morning, Rachel Porter. I think that's who I see. Again, thank you everybody for being with us. Again, my name is thank you so much for joining us. Dog days of summer we are in the throes of the dog days of summer. So thank you very much for joining us today. There's a lot to cover. We've got a lot going on. Obviously, college football updates and FSU and FAMU move-ins have begun. And we've got two outstanding speakers with us today. So again, got a lot to get to in this hour. So again, thank you so much for joining. You all know the drill. Please mute your microphone. It's the lower left. With so many people in the meeting, it's really imperative that everybody do this to eliminate the background noise. So again, please mute your microphone. And then, of course, you can unmute it when you wish to speak. So again, thank you for making the time to be with us today, because we know as a community, as an industry, we are in this together. There will be brighter days ahead, to be sure, but for right now, this is a very, very challenging time for our community and our state and the world. So again, on the gloom and doom portion of this, I give everybody kind of an update on the coronavirus cases at the global level. COVID-19 cases now exceed 20 million. And that number has doubled in just the last 6 weeks. And the global death toll has reached nearly 750,000. There are more than 200,000 cases reported each day on average. That's from the New York Times. And unfortunately, United States is leading all the country in the number of cases, unfortunately, with 5 million cases here in the United States. As global vaccine, you know, research continues, like we spoke a couple weeks ago, that there are 165 currently in development. But now y'all may have heard that Russian President Vladimir Putin is claiming that the Russian-developed vaccine is safe and after less than 2 months of clinical trial. That's a length of time far less than recommended by public health experts and drug experts. So medical officials are warning that without a large-scale phase 3 clinical trial, it's really unknown whether that vaccine even works, and much less what potential side effects it could have on the general public. So again, I mean, our testing, I said, our trials of 165 vaccines, but now we're hearing, you know, from President Putin that Russia's got a vaccine and it's effective. So again, that's real interesting to see how that unfolds. At the national level, the Congress and the Trump administration are still wrangling and kind of button heads over a coronavirus. This is like a phase 4 relief bill. Real progress to date, unfortunately. And as we know, the $600 per week of federal employment benefits have now expired. So there's a number of folks that are really in a real tough situation. So you know, whatever you can do to help, you know, donate to, you know, whether it's food banks or things like that, because we've got some folks until relief can come that are really in a tough situation. At the statewide level, schools, of course, we're in the school season, is a great topic of conversation as Florida schools will reopen this month. And so many folks in our industry are parents, you know, they're working parents, so it affects all of us. So district superintendents are now calling on state officials to address two major challenges with the schools reopening, and that is a need for rapid testing for COVID-19, and then what's the statewide plan to handle
students and staff members who test positive. But the Florida Association of School District Superintendents told the Education Commissioner, Richard Corcoran, on Friday that state direction is imperative to ensure that school districts, you know, have access to rapid tests and the results, and school officials know what to do when, you know, the school officials and you know, students and teachers, when people start showing symptoms or testing positive. So no official state guidance has yet to be released. Again, being a teacher and a school administrator was tough enough. And then now without, you know, some statewide, you know, guidelines and protocols, it's especially hard on them. Governor DeSantis did say in a press conference yesterday that he's considering borrowing money from the federal government to help the Floridians whose unemployment benefits have expired, but he didn't say how much he would be asking for or when he would be asking for. But again, that could provide some much needed relief again to folks in Florida whose, and particularly in our community, whose unemployment benefits have expired. As we know, this is still a very critical time in the pandemic in Florida. There are now, or have been, more than 500,000 of over half a million cases here in Florida. As of yesterday, it's 543,000. And there are more than, you know, 8,500 deaths here in the state. And yesterday, unfortunately, Florida had the distinction of having the highest single day death toll of 276. So again, it's COVID is impacting the entire state and certainly our community as well. There are more than 5,000 cases here locally, and the number of documented cases and positive cases, that they are decreasing. So that's good. The trend line is moving in the right direction, but unfortunately, the emergency room visits with COVID and flu-like symptoms is increasing, and folks going into the hospital. Again, please be sure to thank a health worker and all essential workers. Again, remember, each of us can help flatten the curve by wearing a mask. Remember, it's not too much to mask. And definitely keep your distance. That's very, very important. So sharing a few other updates, we've got tropical storms, again, brewing off the coast of Africa, so keep an eye on the tropics. I mentioned this. We had Issa Ias come through, so hurricane season is really swinging into gear for its most active time now through October. So please don't wait till there's a storm to start preparing now. In other words, I've been working on my hurricane supply stash. So everybody else, if you again make sure that they're working on that as well. As I mentioned earlier, we've got move-in weeks have started at FSU and FAMU. So they are beginning this week. FSU is scheduling, it's all again in this COVID world, 500 move-ins per day. So instead of the big crush of folks coming at one time, they are scheduling 500 per day. I'm happy to hear, and a number of our hotel properties have the parents here helping the kids move in. Again, that's some welcome business there. This will continue until August 23rd. FSU is planning residence halls, or the dorms, as we used to call them, expected to be filled to only 70% occupancy, and the FSU is offering 30% of their classes in person. All the rest are going to be online. And so again, when the students come back, we're already seeing them. I'm sure you all have already seen them as well around town. So they're here, they're coming back. And I know FSU has worked on a great partnership with TMH to do some rapid testing. I know TMU is working on some similar protocols to have testing and rapid testing on their campus. So again, the students are moving back in, they're here. Also, just wanted to let everyone know, we heard from a member with KCCI and talking about the, you know, kind of the bike park idea and concept out at the Market District. And as Autumn Calder had referenced, the Blueprint has issued put out a survey where they are looking for feedback. And I think our feedback, we heard a lot of conversation on this call about the It's basically like a mountain biking or biking kind of a theme park type of thing, which would be a great addition to us, but to our destination. So please consider taking that survey, again, to what kind of park is desired there in the Market District. It's TallahasseeMarketDistrict.com is the survey, but we also have it linked on our industry partners Facebook page and on the resources platform. So again, really, it'd be worthwhile to take 5 minutes and fill out a survey on what you would like to see from the park standpoint up in the Market District. There's a lot going on up there. And certainly, as everyone is well aware of, college football is in an incredible state of flux right now, obviously hugely important to us and our community here, but certainly all around the country. Things are happening and shifting, kind of like this COVID world that we're in. It's all very fluid. Two of the top five collegiate conferences have postponed fall sports, the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Pac-12 is considering maybe moving it to the spring. But again, this is all still very fluid. It's very speculation is rampant. Any decision ultimately, though, on whether college sports will be played will ultimately be made by the school president, not the athletic departments. And so right now, FSU is still set to play on September 12th against Georgia Tech at Doak Campbell Stadium. We all know that they want to play. The athletes want to play. The universities want them to play and how to do that safely. And again, everybody's kind of waiting to see how the other three conferences, the ACC, of course, SEC, and the Big 12, to see what decisions. I mean, they're all meeting this week, the same as the Florida High School Athletic Association from the high school sports standpoint. So, sports right now is in a very fluid state, and I know we're all here very much holding our breath and wanting and hoping and praying for a football season here. But again, I mean, a lot of folks are contemplating many different scenarios. So like everything with COVID, we just have to be flexible and adaptable and keep our fingers crossed here locally and with the ACC. Then they do seem to want to play. So we'll stay tuned on all of that. Another big news, the first Black and Asian American woman, Senator Kamala Harris, has been chosen as VP on the Biden Democratic ticket. So that was very exciting news to have a woman there, especially the first Black and Asian American woman selected as chosen as the VP on the ticket. So again, that's just very exciting there. And there are 82 days until the presidential election. So it is around the corner. So all those mailers and advertisements, where they're going to keep coming as we really swing into gear. So again, that was, some happy national news. And way to go, Senator. And as we know, Black Lives Matter. And it's up to all of us to stand against racism, discrimination, and injustice wherever it exists. A friend recently shared insight from a Black TPD officer from a conversation and sharing that how he, as a Black TPD officer, how he is perceived when he's in uniform. And then how, when he's not in your uniform, how differently he is perceived as a Black man in our community. So hearing this and listening to my friend talk about this and kind of the shared perspective was incredibly moving. And it really got me thinking about that and thinking that, you know, for many African Americans even, that police can represent danger and not safety. So I've been pondering this quite a bit and thinking and asking myself, you know, what can I do to, and we do collectively, what can I do to help change that? I know this is a bigger conversation for another day, but just think about that, you know, and like I said, when I heard this earlier this week, it really moved me and got me thinking about it. So again, you know, keep that in mind yourself. And again, what can we do to start bringing about some positive change? So here we are, again, 5 months into this COVID pandemic. And we all still learning, adapting every week, every day, it seems sometimes. And these calls are designed to provide some shared learning and support for the industry so we know we're stronger together. So as we do every week, we have a couple of outstanding speakers that are with us this morning. We're very blessed that they're here to share their insights and some updates with us. And then we're going to then open it up to hear from folks on the call. But for right now, first on deck this morning will be Lori Elliott. She is the Development Director of Opening Night. I know that's only one of many hats that she wears. It does an outstanding job with Opening Nights. As we all know, the Opening Nights Performing Arts Series and Festival at FSU engages the university and global communities in creative experiences. And before COVID-19 pandemic, as we know, the organization has grown from hosting, you know, 7 events a year. Remember, 7 days of Opening Night. And now it is grown into an event over months, over 70 world-class experiences all throughout the year in venues throughout our community. I mean, truly a tremendous product of our cultural arts and cultural experiences here, and the quality that they bring and the quantity. But however, you know, we know with COVID, Lori is going to share how they are navigating through the pandemic and share some updates on their upcoming season. Then we're going to hear from Paige Lee. She is the Director of Education at the John G. Riley Center and Museum. Paige Lee currently serves, again, as the Director of Education, where she is responsible for all the educational programming at the Riley House and Museum, Riley Center. And in this role, she also manages for youth programs. She is assisted with the Frenchtown Heritage Trail Soul Voices Project, which you all know about, which is very cool. And she coordinates annual fundraisers, so again, which has got to be a challenging time to do that. So she is a graduate of Florida A&M University with her master's degree in business administration, and she's truly a rising star in the industry. So we're going to start it off with Lori, and then we're going to turn it over to Paige. So Lori Elliott, thank you so much for being with us this morning. Really appreciate you taking the time to share some updates on all the great things that's happening over at Opening Night.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I wanted to thank everybody on the call, and especially to Carrie and Visit Tallahassee for the opportunity, as well as just setting these up. It's been over the last several weeks, listening to what everybody's doing in the community is really inspirational. You know, I think we're all just, it shows the resiliency, I think, of the different organizations within our community and what we're still doing to highlight what all that Tallahassee has to offer, you know, from recreation to the parks, to education, to the arts and culture. And so it really makes me excited to, you know, be a resident and live here in Tallahassee, and just know that I'm working among a number of other folks here are working very hard to, you know, keep things moving ahead and define what the new norm is going to be, because people keep talking about well, we can't wait till it goes back to some sense of normalcy. I'm not sure it's going to be the same as what we've had in the past. So one of the words I think that are a couple of words everybody keeps using is flexibility, you know, being nimble, and then obviously being able to pivot. And I think that really describes what Opening Nights has been trying to go through the last couple of months. So if you don't mind, just, I guess back in March, we were all set, pretty much had the entire season, which comprises now, as you had said, from 7 days to up to about 30 performances. And COVID-19 hit, and then things just kind of started unraveling and falling apart. And by middle of the summer, we didn't know what was going on, and really had to take a look at what we wanted to do to stay current, stay relevant, figure out what we are as an organization and what we can offer the community, and then obviously try to draw people to Tallahassee. So I'm going to just walk through a couple of the things that we're doing to be flexible and nimble for the performing arts standpoint. So with that, as some of our artists began canceling on us because they didn't feel comfortable traveling to the state, or because of the large groups and ensembles, they can't with social distancing. How do you, you know, issues we didn't even think about backstage, not just the audiences, but even behind the stage or on stage, how do you protect the artists that are up there in social distance? So I think the learning curve has been really great. One of the couple of things we've started to do then was we also began conversations with our audience members. It's because we can put on shows, but what is their comfort level in coming? So we've had to make some changes in order to meet the needs of the people who want to come to opening night. So our season announcement is, please mark your calendar, is September 10th at 7 p.m. And rather than doing that in person, which we've done, you know, for all the years that I can remember, we are going to do it virtually. So we're going to be offering it through Facebook, through our website, and YouTube. And we will announce, and right now we have a full season to announce, I'm happy to say. But what we may announce on September 10th, please know, may be changing, you know, as things continue to evolve. So that will be as of September 10th, but we will continue to press on. With that, we also still ticketing. When we had to cancel the last few shows of our season, we realized what a, you know, an issue it could be for our patrons and others. So this year, we will be moving forward with having folks be able to buy tickets, but rather than the entire season, we're looking at still offering advanced ticket purchases for our members and sponsors, but then public on sale only doing about 30 days out, knowing that no one knows what tomorrow will bring. So having a much more compressed timeline as to when people can purchase tickets, in hopes that we can avoid any cancellations or things like that, or if we have to, can make it a little bit easier. As far as venues, we have also been informed, you know, we've been looking all around the community for different venues that allow social distancing, especially venues that don't have fixed seats. So we can do what is called cabaret style, maybe some tables and chairs, things of that nature that you can then set apart, you know, the 6 feet. Ruby Diamond has also been announced will be closed to all public audiences for the fall. So that has also left us, okay, what do we do? And looking at virtual events as well. But I know as many other organizations out there, you want to grow with the times and be flexible, but you also have to be true to who you are. We've gotten a number of folks asking, well, why don't you do a lot of virtual events? We do plan on doing a couple of virtual events, but we are a live performing arts presenter. And that's true to our mission and our core. And that's who we are. So we are not in the business of doing everything virtually. So we do plan to move forward with live presentations at this time, but obviously dipping our toe into some of the virtual, and especially from the education standpoint, because that's a big component that has continued to grow for opening nights. It's important for us to do live performances, but equally as important, we do over 30 educational programming, both on campus and off campus. So in the K-12 schools, we work closely with SAMU, we work with CCC in offering master classes and other educational opportunities. So that is going to be a little bit more challenging, is what we look at. How can we offer those services to students? And that may be in a more virtual format. So if anybody has any suggestions or offerings, we are taking, you know, anything, any advice, ideas we can do to continue to move forward. One other thing that we've had to change, and also, as I'm sure everyone else is how do we reduce some of our overhead expenses and also health and safety of all of our patrons is obviously paramount with anything we do moving forward. We're always looking at that. We will make sure we meet all Florida states, the state of Florida's, as well as any CDC guidelines on what we need to do with the health and safety when we hold these performances. So with that, we've also, our season brochure, we've printed thousands of copies, printed copies in the past. We're actually moving that to digital this year. And again, part of that helps reduce some of our overhead expenses, but candidly, it's mostly for the flexibility. If we print something today, we're not sure what it's going to look like tomorrow. So with 25 plus performances, having it digitally will allow us to have the flexibility, reduce the hand-to-hand touching, as well as our programs. And all of those will now be digital, where we will send them out well in advance of the performances. And so pre-show emails will have all of our updated content on what are the health and safety requirements going into the particular venue. So we're asking people to be sure to check out our websites, make sure their emails are updated so we can provide them the most up-to-date information on the health and safety requirements, and you know, and then find out about the artists. And with that, that's another way that we've also been exploring with members and sponsors. How do we recognize the number of sponsors who have stepped up and continue to support opening night? It's very humbling for us as an organization to see the number of businesses that really understand what the arts can do in bringing the community together, no matter what our background is or anything. And that's why it's so important for us to move with the performing arts, because we really see in these times like this, people need an outlet, and it's a wonderful way to bring folks together for a shared experience. And that's really why we wanted to move forward with the performing arts, and why our director, Michael Blatchley, said, hey, we're gonna go forward and have a full season, because we feel it's important with here in the community of what we have to offer. So with that, that's kind of where we stand. More information is becoming available. We'll continue to do our updates from, we call it Michael's Monday Messages. We send out weekly updates, and we'll be providing more information on venues, ticketing. But I do ask on September 10th at 7 p.m., everybody tune in and see what exciting artists are coming to Tallahassee in opening night.
Great. Thank you, Lori. Really appreciate you sharing that with us. And yeah, I mean, I know it's like all of us, we're having to do more work because the changes and the constant fluidity and everything, that I can certainly appreciate and applaud all your efforts to have this show go on, you know, and be it, as they say, go online, or, you know, but also, of course, try to do, you know, some performances cabaret style. I think that's pretty cool. Let me ask you this, Lori, and Paige, I'm going to ask you this too, so be thinking about this. What can we do, or how can Visit Tallahassee and the others on this call, what is one thing we can do this week to support you, you know, to help you? What is one thing we could do? I think we got everybody to put September 10th at 7 p.m. on their calendars. But what can we do? Is there that we this week to help you?
Yeah, well, I very much appreciate that. I think it's a matter of spreading the word. You know, we've tried to be very active on social media. But one of the things Katie and I've even talked about, how do we leverage the partnership with Visit Tallahassee and really appreciate it? And we have a number of artists. It's interesting how they're transitioning. You know, before they'd send you the press kit and get that out there, now many of them are willing to do Facebook posts or, you know, little short videos, 15 or 30 seconds, that say, hey, I'm coming to Tallahassee, look forward to seeing you. And we'd love to be able to share those as we get them. This week, we don't have any, but as we get them from the artists coming up, to be able to share them with Visit Tallahassee, because, you know, when we have people like Smokey Robinson or Patti LaBelle or some of these big names, it's not just about opening night. It's, I think, a coup for our community, because folks are going out to dinner, they're staying in hotels. You know, I look at where tickets are purchased from. This past year, we had Al Stewart come, and we had folks fly in from Washington State because they loved Al Stewart so much, or from the Tampa area or North Carolina. And so people do come in, and I think it's wonderful for our community because it really raises the visibility of what Tallahassee has to offer in comparison to some of the big cities. You know, in New York, you can see the artists right here. And so we just love the partnership with you, Carrie. And as we get these videos to be able to, share them through social media and just be able to say, look who Tallahassee's bringing to, you know, to our community.
Absolutely. I'll count on that. I really do appreciate that. And I think that's a great idea. It's interesting because as I understand it, right now, too, artists are becoming more flexible because they need the work, you know, and they want, you know, so it, there's always a silver lining there somewhere, you know, and there's, as we say, there's lemonade out of these lemons, you know, and so absolutely be delighted to any of those videos to share with us. So is there anything from an industry we can do, spread the word in the September 10th, is there anything that you can think of that additionally that we can do to support you in opening night?
Well, I appreciate that. Obviously, we always have our memberships and sponsorships, so if anybody would like to join there, always willing to work with you on that. And from an industry standpoint, I would say just on a national perspective, there are a number of arts organizations that are also taking donations that go specifically to artists, because as you said, there are many out there who are out of work as well, and are just literally fighting to survive and what that looks like. And it's not just the artists, but everybody behind the scenes, all of the people that travel with them or the equipment. And so, as you know, there's so many people who aren't on stage that help make the performing arts happen. And those folks are also suffering and, are unemployed right now. So there's a number of arts organizations. So if you feel compelled to go out there and support them, that would be great too, to keep the arts alive.
Right. That's a great suggestion. And remember, one thing, if we do one thing this week, we got to do something, you know. So I appreciate that, Lori. Thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions for Lori? I hope you have questions, comments.
I do. Good morning. Thank you, Carrie. Hey, good morning, Lori. How are you doing? It's Kathleen. Hey, in the videos that you talked about with the artists, is it possible, or this is just a thought or suggestion, we in Zoom, we have these Zoom backgrounds of, you know, different places in Tallahassee, like especially in some of the destinations and so on. Would it be possible to, you know, maybe have the videos or some kind of connection between those destination backgrounds and the artists? So like we're putting Smokey Robinson in Cascades Park or something along that line, just something to really tie in a real local flavor to what they're doing. So I just there might be some things like that could happen. We also have some artists here that live locally that also have national profiles, and they may know some of the artists and maybe be able to share a story or something like that. Just anything that could also have a kind of a double marketing appeal to both opening nights and to our tourism. So those are just some things that COCA can help work with you on, or we can help you out with that if as need be.
Oh, those are fabulous ideas. Thank you, Kathleen. No, I love that. I don't see any reason. These days, the artists are very receptive to a number of things, and they do try to use the shout out for Tallahassee. But I love the background idea. Of course, I tried to get mine working, Deontay and I couldn't get my background, so unfortunately. But no, I love that idea. So I will follow up with you and see what we can do to get some of those images around Tallahassee and use that. As well as I love the local flair of some of the artists. Hey, what are your fondest memories, or what are you looking forward to? So I think there's anything that we can make the connection to a local feel is always much better. So thank you for the suggestion.
And Kathleen, I'll jump on that too. We've been noodling around exactly that to provide some. We have a Zoom background wizard on the team of Scott Linden. And we have talked about exactly that, is creating some backgrounds for all you all to use. And whether we walk through and try to maybe like a tutorial, but exactly that is all of us are on Zoom calls. I mean, everywhere from, you know, representing. So whatever we can do again to promote our local products, particularly arts and culture. And if we know we have an artist come, anything like that. So I think we'll Kathleen and Lori may follow up with you guys. And again, because we were just talking about what can we do as a fun engagement with the industry, and even have you show them on these calls, you know, and if we see you, you know, using one, then, you know, we could do something that, you know, just fun and do a social post on y'all, or, you know, something just to, make it fun and engaging for all of us working together to promote the community assets. So love that idea. So thank you so much. Okay. Well, is any other questions for Lori? Okay, great. So next we are going to turn it over to Paige Lee from the John G. Riley Center Museum. And so I still call it the Riley House, but there's a lot more to it than just the house. So thank you, Paige, for being with us.
Yes, thank you so much for having me here this morning. I'm elated to be here to share some of the things that we've been working on and just connect with some of the leaders in our tourism industry here in Tallahassee. As we all know, a lot of things have been changing. It's been a lot of new ideas that we've had to introduce at the Riley Museum. Of course, mostly everything that we've had before was primarily all in person, of course, the emphasis on our tours. And unfortunately, at the beginning, you know, there were some things we realized we just may not be able to do. And that's okay. They're unique experiences in person. And so with a lot of that, we had to create unique experiences virtually as well. So some things we were able to continue to keep in place, and then some things we've had to adapt a little bit. So, but I am just glad to have the support of our community to be able to communicate some of those ideas and to just really connect and network and be able to support each other as we're going through this. Because as Lori mentioned earlier, this may not be something that, you know, come to an end relatively shortly, or it may be something that we do have to really adapt to in the future. We may not really ever get back to our normal, our idea of normal, but this is our new normal. So just some things that we've been doing. First of all, we really had to emphasize keeping our members informed. That was first and foremost our biggest things, you know, wanting to make sure that we had our quarterly newsletters going out, being very transparent with our members, showing them all of the resources that they had at their disposal that we did have as an opportunity to view on our newly designed website. Our website now is a bit easier to navigate, so that's a blessing, and we've been making sure that we keep that updated with all of our resources. Right now, as Tallahassee, everyone's been trying to get outdoors, so one of the primary things for us was our Frenchtown Heritage Trail, which was released last November, which consists of 8 markers throughout the Frenchtown neighborhood, historic Frenchtown. And with that, we will actually be releasing 4 additional markers here shortly by the end of this year. So that's very, very exciting. And so as we go through this, as everyone's getting outdoors, we do encourage you, if you haven't already, to go along the Frenchtown Heritage Trail. And that map of the trail can be found on our website under resources. And so we do encourage you to participate in that. Just learn some history about our area. And like I said, with the release of the 4 additional markers, just stay tuned on our Facebook pages and our website to see when those will be released so that you can see the new markers. So we are very excited for that. Also, as Carrie mentioned, I am the Director of Education. So I am primarily responsible for all of our youth programs. And we primarily work with children in elementary school, so K-5. So that has, of course, had some huge adjustments with them no longer being in school. And we do have an after-school program with Riley Elementary School. And so that had to take some just enormous adjustments. And we've been, I'm thankful that we've had an instructor who's been really working with us and who's been very enthusiastic to continue the program despite the students no longer being in school. And we had some challenges with that, of course, with us primarily serving low to moderate income students. So we've been really trying to adjust because they don't necessarily have the access to technology as we may take for granted at times. So we've had to provide them some of those resources and just making sure that they are able to access the material that we do put out. So our instructor has really been working with us on that. We've created kind of like a virtual classroom for the students. So that's been really cool. It's definitely been putting my creativity to the test for sure. So that's definitely been exciting. I've been putting some new videos together for them. And then as we go into this here, one of the traditional programs that Riley has done for the past 20 years has been our Blended Lives program, where we work with Goodwood Museum to produce that field trip for all the fourth graders in the county. So that's about 2,000 fourth graders coming on site over the course of 3 to 4 days. So of course we can't do that this year, but we still want the fourth graders this year to have that experience in whatever way that we can. So we've been adjusting to doing a virtual field trip, which is something new. So we are really excited for that, and we'll be giving them the entire experience virtually. So we've been working with Leon County Schools to definitely get that accomplished and get that pushed out to all of our elementary schools here in the county. Very excited for that. Of course, we've been thinking about, we're moving towards the reopening stages and what that will look like. You know, we do have, the Riley House is very small. If you've ever been in there, it's very narrow walkways. So definitely putting in procedures for individual sets of guests at a time, not, you know, intermingling, allowing only the necessary guests in the visitor center. So that's definitely adjusting a little bit of the way that we move, making sure that everyone is wearing their mask and staying safe and socially distanced. And so we are finally preparing to move towards that. We were a little hesitant, of course, at first. We didn't want to put our visitors at risk or our staff at risk. And so those are some of the considerations that we had to work through before we were able to take this step. But we think that we're finally able to move in that direction. So we are very excited to get back into the office, get back into the museum. But even with that, even once we do open, we still want to continue to keep up that virtual presence for our guests who still don't feel comfortable, you know, coming back, or who still want that virtual exposure. That's something that we would like to continue even after we do open. We think that that's a great resource. And for those who are not in Tallahassee, we think that that's definitely something that could draw them here. So we want to keep up that virtual presence. So we have some new exhibits that we'll be releasing soon for children and for adults the same. So we are excited to release those. And then aside from that, right now, I know for me, I've been picking up a lot of new hobbies. And so with that, we wanted to encourage guests to view our publications. We have numerous publications on our website. And so this is the time. I know a lot of people have been reading and looking for time to just, you know, research new information. And so we've been encouraging all of our publications are available for purchase. We are still sending out packages as normal. So that's something that we've definitely been continuing. And we have been seeing a bit of an increase in our publication sales lately. So that has been a positive side for us as we've been going through this so far.
That's great, Paige. Thank you so much for the great update. I guess I'd ask you, let me back up a couple of things you talked about, and Lori did as well. And I started saying this myself, this new normal, and I've since evolved it to a next normal. Because I agree with Lori and all of us, we're never going to be the same as we were before. I mean, we are forever changed. And I think just the state of things, it's going to keep evolving. I mean, things are just going to keep evolving. So I've kind of adapted to the term next normal, you know, because, you know, I mean, when I even think back, you know, even 3 months ago or 2 months ago and then 5 months ago, to think of, you know, where we are, it's an evolution. So I've kind of adopted the term next normal, you know, for whatever that may be. And like you shared too, with some of the virtual content, I think all of us can say you're doing things that, you know, we didn't do before, but it's going to remain with us going forward. A lot of the virtual stuff, I mean, the adaptations that we found a lot of value, and we've had some speakers on this call or these weekly calls that have said, if it hadn't have been for COVID, they never would have done some of these things. But now that they're doing it, it's extremely valuable, you know. So there's always, we've got to keep thinking about that silver lining and the positive, you know, what we are learning and growing. So let me ask you then, what is one thing that, this is Tallahassee, what can we do? And the industry members on this call, what is one thing we can do this week to help you and the Riley House and what you're doing?
For us, I think definitely one thing you can do is, if you do take the time to go and do our Frenchtown Heritage Trail, take some pictures, you know, share about your experience so that we can repost that in our Facebook page. All of our, we just really want to encourage engagement at this point. Also, our Facebook posts, you know, if you find interest in it, definitely share those. Once again, sharing our publication, sharing our website, those are definitely some things that we certainly would benefit from, and we would certainly appreciate your support in doing, especially the Frenchtown Heritage Trail. With our current trail being in place,
We want to really gear up that conversation as we lead to releasing our new markers. So once the release of the new markers, we would love if you could just share that, share our map on our website. We would really appreciate that.
Thank you. It's very cool. I don't know how many of you all have done it and watched it. It's got soul voices. And what's so cool is they're all, you hear recordings of people. So you're hearing things in you know, in people's own words that from there. So it really brings another immersion aspect and a connection there. So it's an extremely well done project, and I'm excited to hear four more coming online. So again, please consider checking that out, and I'll let it take a picture and post it and talk about it. So everybody, if you know, because I'm going to encourage everybody to this week to pick one thing you're going to do different. You know, one thing you're going to do different this week, whether it's, you know, go to the museum or take the tour or go to a different restaurant or try some different, you know, beer from a different craft brewery, you know, but pick, you know, or support, you know, make a donation to local artists or so, you know, buy something online from a local artist, but do one thing, just pick one thing this week to do to support our local businesses, because we think, and now more than ever, they really need our support. So do you have any questions or comments for Paige? Okay, well, we know what to do. Again, let's still check out online and the Riley House, but also for the Frenchtown Heritage Trail Soul Voices. Please make a point to go check that out. So we've got a few more minutes here. I want to mix it up and try something new here. Been building on this focus on some good news or kudos. You know, is there anything happened to you all in this week that you received a grant or you received some good news or, you know, some share some accolades of or new projects or new initiatives that you're really excited about? To kind of again take this time in the call to share something that you're really excited about in your organization, something that's again new or some accolades or something like that. And I'm going to, you know, kind of kick it off because we have one of our own here, Deontay Gavin, that he was recently named president of the Big Bend chapter of the Florida Government Finance Officers Association. That's a big mouthful. So Deontay, yay! Exactly. So Mr. President there, would you please tell us a little bit about the organization and your role now as president this year?
Yes, sure. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Carrie. Yes, I am now serving as the president of our local chapter. A little about the Florida Government Finance Officers Association is that we serve thousands of professionals throughout the state. In state, county, city, government, school districts, colleges and universities, and private firms. And here locally, there are 8 counties that the Big Bend chapter oversees, or we have members of, hundreds of members. And those counties include Liberty, Franklin, Gadsden, Wakulla, which is one of my favorites, Jefferson, Taylor, and of course, Leon County. And we really focus on education, networking, leadership, and information sharing. And so at a minimum, we have 4 meetings per year, but it is an honor to serve in this role and to lead our colleagues through what Carrie just referred to as a next normal. and we have our first virtual meeting training session on this Friday. So I'm just very honored to be a part of the association and the organization.
Great, thanks, Deontay. Just think about it as it's the CFOs of all of the, you know, public entities, whether it's, you know, city government, county government, universities, it's the chief financial officers meeting. And you can imagine as much as we all in our roles have adapted to, you know, with COVID-19, the same from finance, kind of just a whole, you know, so many different ramifications to it. So again, congratulations on that, Deontay. I know you'll do a terrific job, and they'll be, you're very fortunate to have you at the helm during this year. So anyone else want to share? Is there anything, again, other, you know, good news, some new project you're excited about? Open it up to everybody.
Sherry, I have something to share.
Okay, Kathleen.
Thank you. So just to let everybody know that there is a new exhibit at the Airport Gallery. It is called Many Voices, One Heart Paintings by Terry Corbett. So it's brand spanking new as of yesterday afternoon. So it is also available not only at the Airport Gallery, but it's also available online. So we have our online galleries that popped up this summer. And so you can either go to the COCA CallahasseeArts.org and view it there, or you can view it live at the gallery. There is free 30-minute parking there. So is one of those things that you might want to do this week. You can certainly go to the airport, park for free for 30 minutes, jump in, see the gallery, see Terry's amazing work.
Great. Thank you. Michelle, did I see you? Were you?
Yeah, I was just going to mention one of our, at the Challenger Learning Center, one of our favorite partnerships, one of our favorite community partnerships is with Midtown Reader. And in the past, we've brought authors to Tallahassee to do book signings and discussions about some of their books. Well, given our pivot that we're in right now, we have been doing some virtual discussions with some authors. And tomorrow night with Midtown Reader, we're hosting Kate Green. She is an author and scientist and physicist, and she wrote a book, Once Upon a Time I Lived on Mars. She was in the, she spent 2.5 years in the high seas dome and on the volcano in Hawaii. And so we are co-hosting Kate tomorrow night. So if you guys are interested in attending that virtual lecture, go to Midtown Reader's Facebook page and sign up for the online virtual experience.
Very cool. Thanks, Michelle. I just did one of the Midtown Reader's author talks last week, and they're extremely well done. And so I'm excited to see about this one, about the, you know, there's a scientist, a physicist, and you know, so it's, again, they're doing a great job with it. Well worth it to join up. So go check that out at Midtown Reader's either website or Facebook page to register to join. Anybody else? Have something to share?
I can share a little bit from the Historic Capitol Museum.
Great. Hi, Rachel. Great.
Hey, how are y'all? We have had a little bit of a setback with an exhibit that we were bringing on board. It was due to open in April. It's called Voices and Votes, and it's from the Smithsonian Institution. Unfortunately, that did get delayed until February. We still plan on hosting that, but we are still doing programming for it that's funded in part by the Florida Humanities. So that was the Florida Humanities Council formerly. So August 26th, we have actually a nation, a pretty important anniversary to recognize. It's the centennial of the day that women finally were recognized of the vote. So the 19th Amendment passed and became law, on August 26, 1920. So to recognize that, we have Dr. Ortiz, Dr. Ashley Robertson Preston, and Dr. Kimberly Brown Pelham, to come and do a virtual, program for the discussion about covering everything from Black women's clubs and the organization to suffrage, and then the time just thereafter, and what has the 19th Amendment meant for voting rights in Florida, voting rights in the country. It's going to be an incredible talk, some really dynamic speakers, and we're just super grateful that they're coming and that Florida Humanities has been able to do this for us. So I would encourage you all to look at the Florida Historic Capitol Museum Facebook page. All the information is on there. And you can register for the Zoom that's at 6 o'clock on August 26th. And then look out for February. We will have the Smithsonian exhibit, Voices and Votes. It's an awesome look at just the workings of democracy in our country. So.
Great. Look forward to that very much. And Yes, August 26th has been on my radar screen for some time. We've got a special treat for everybody because it actually does fall on a Wednesday. And so we have a very special industry meeting being planned for that day, highlighting leading ladies here in Tallahassee. Again, and given the, to, you know, recognize and, you know, celebrate the 100th anniversary, which is just tremendous, of the 19th Amendment, passing and giving women the right to vote. And full disclosure here, the August 26th is also my birthday. So I say this in the sense that my entire life, there is no cool celebrities born on August 26th. August 26th, you know, everybody on their birthday, there's usually like some really cool celebrity that's born on their birthday. Not me. August 26th, there's not. I've looked for years. But I've been at, but I got something better, and that is the 19th Amendment, you know, that women got their right to vote on my, so I've been hanging my hat on that my entire life, that, you know, that, you know, that, I mean, I have many cool celebrities on my birthday, but women got the right to vote on my birthday, and this was a bonus, and it is also International Dog Day, so on August 26th. Again, I got two really cool things, again, full disclosure, but anyway, we're going to have an industry call that day with lots of local leading ladies telling some cool stories. Again, thank you for that tee up, Rachel. But yeah, it definitely is a day to be recognized for women. And certainly we've got a number of, you know, leading ladies, more than we have time to showcase in an hour, but it's gonna be a really cool call that day. So thank you for teeing that up. Anybody else got anything to share this morning? Any updates? Any cool stuff happening? We've heard some cool stuff here so far.
Carrie, I would just ask, it sounds like there's some really cool events happening. Just a reminder for everyone to add their events on visittallahassee.com event calendar. We have a virtual category, so just a friendly reminder to do that would be awesome.
Great, thank you. And remember, our grant cycle is open. Our grant window is open through the end of the month. So again, please check into that. So again, any other kind of again, we were going to do kind of this announcements, what's exciting, good news, kudos type of thing. Is there anything else this morning that any folks would like to share? And if not, be thinking about it for next week, and also think about that one thing you're going to do between now and next Wednesday, that one thing to do to make a difference. And we're going to have a great week next week with the call. We've got John Gandy. He is the creative director of John Gandy Events. Again, events have also been tremendously impacted with COVID-19. So he's going to share how the event planning industry has changed through the COVID-19. And again, I'll really go into depth on that. And also want to make sure everybody's aware, we'll probably have some speakers, a speaker on this, is we are launching Leon County Cares. It's called leoncountycares.com. There is a new grant program that's going to launch to provide support for small businesses. This is, you know, truly for to help cover expenses that have been impacted as a result of COVID-19. So whether it's employee wages, vendor bills, rent, utilities, promotion, as a small business, this is a new funding program that's going to be released next week. So again, we'll have some information on that. Again, it's leoncountycares.com. If you want to check it out, again, it'll open up on Monday of next week. But again, you should be hearing lots of them, and please consider taking advantage of that. So again, with that, again, want to say thank you all so much for being with us today. Lori and Paige, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. Really appreciate it. Again, remember, September 10th, you know, at 7 p.m., and make sure you go check out the Frenchtown Heritage Trail Soul Voices. And again, just take one thing this week, whether it's a new restaurant, go to a museum if you haven't been there for a while, go explore a new trail, get out and do one thing. And so again, please remember to be safe, be well, and wear your mask in public. Don't forget to wear your mask. Remember, it's not too much to mask. And also make sure that you vote. The deadline is coming up because the primary is on the 18th, so here in just a few days. So make sure you are voting. Go vote or do there's a mail-in ballot. So just make sure you vote because every vote counts. So thank you again for being with us this morning. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you next week. Thank you.